Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you're taking advantage of these last few weeks of the summer. Man, it goes by so fast. The school year is upon us. Today, I'm delighted to bring to you the message from 1 Thessalonians, a reading from Daily Mass, Paul's letter to the community in Thessalonica. And there's just such rich, encouraging realities that he's communicating that he's celebrating in the people that are mostly new converts. Most of them are Greek converts, polytheists who now come to know Jesus is the one Lord. They're getting hassled, the community, by some Jewish people there who are trying to really cause an uproar and make life very difficult for them and for some of the Jewish converts that are there. So Paul's addressing some of that in the personal letter here that he's sending to them. But as with the whole Word of God, this word has been inspired by God, God who inspired Paul, the writer, and it's for us today. It's a living word. It's a life-transforming word. And I think you'd be able to relate to some of the things that Paul is saying about what constitutes part of the normal Christian life, really foundational realities and its origin, its life, its power, its mission, its obstacles, and all the rest. And so I find it very, very inspiring in these short letters just to see the level of dedication of Paul and those who are with him and the price that the brothers and sisters paid to be able to say yes to Jesus, to enter the church, to become disciples, to live under his lordship, and to enter into his mission. They really did pay a price. And hopefully it will be encouraging to us, but also challenging, because I'm challenged by it every time I read it. I'm just going to say a little prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to help us this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, and the outbreak of the kingdom throughout history, in his coming, in his dying, his victory over darkness, the new life that's in him, the new creation, the new humanity, the establishing of the kingdom. Thank you for the apostolic ministry of the church, beginning with the apostles and St. Paul and those that they gathered in, the courageous witness. They are faithful, suffering witnesses for the sake of the gospel. And Lord, we ask you to help our minds be renewed by the word today, that you would strengthen our faith, hope, and love. Help us to understand your purpose and plan in our own lives so we can live it out fully, even to the point of suffering for the sake of the gospel. Father in heaven, we love you. Lord Jesus, send your Holy Spirit upon us today. Come, Holy Spirit. So I'm going to start with Paul. In verse 2, chapter 1, Paul says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith, your labor of love, and steadfast hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Faith in Jesus, love for Jesus, hope in Jesus. They're all right there. And this is, some of the commentators say, this is the first place where Paul brings the theological virtues together. This is an early letter. And what we see, friends, in this is Paul understands the powerful role that faith, hope, and love play in the Christian life. They are absolutely foundational. Jesus came to make it possible for us to come into the freedom that he knows from all eternity, to come into the freedom of the sons and daughters of God, to be born again by water and the Spirit, to enter into the living community of brothers and sisters, the church that's animated now by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, giving people a capacity now to respond to Jesus' high call and to enter into kingdom living, his way of life. And there's lots of dimensions of living in the kingdom that we hear from Jesus himself, like the Sermon on the Mount and all those chapters of the way of life of Jesus. But the foundation of it all is faith, hope, and love, theological virtues given to us in our baptism in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's interesting, Paul calls it, he said, he's giving thanks, he's rejoicing because he can see what's happening in the brothers and sisters in that community. in the face of great opposition, we'll hear and find out that the working of God, the very thing Jesus said would happen in the sending of the Holy Spirit and the power of the preaching of the gospel, is actually happening in their lives. So Paul can rejoice because he's seeing the right stuff. He's seeing a real, genuine Christian community emerging in a very difficult and very different culture. The work of faith, it's interesting, in the New Testament, we know the discussions and historically the battle between faith and works, and he's talking here about the work of faith. And faith is what? Faith is really has two fundamental dimensions. The first one is to believe everything Jesus taught us, or to believe the creeds, for example, to assent to it in our mind and in our will. The Holy Spirit helps us see it, believe it, and understand it. And the second dimension of faith that's just as important is the radical surrender of our mind, heart, will, our whole lives in trust to God, and then to enter into what really we even see in the lives of Moses, Abraham, our father in faith, who on the command of God, the call of God, left everything he had, total security, identity that was his, the whole life that he had built for himself, for the clan that he was leading. And God said to him, called him, he's going to bring him to the promised land. Abraham didn't know where that was. He didn't know how long the journey would be, but he said yes to God. He entrusted his life, his whole enterprise, everything that he built, he entrusted it to God, and he bet everything on the promises of God and walking in obedience to God. That's why the church is happy to say Abraham is our father in faith. He became a nomad of faith. He stepped out of the boat. He stepped into the unknown, and he did it out of trust because God is trustworthy. God is good. God is faithful, and God is God, right? And so the work of faith is what Paul is seeing in this community. They're now living the way of life of a disciple. Jesus said, what does it mean to become my disciple? You must first deny yourself, take up your cross, and then come after me. Those are really discipleship terms, to come after me, to walk after the disciple, the master, the teacher. It's very common in Jesus' time for a rabbi to have a group of young men that were literally living with him, and he was teaching them everything he knew, his whole way of life. And as they'd walk in the streets, those who were disciples would walk behind the master, and they're walking in the way of the master. And so what's happening with this community being drawn out of a polytheistic world, a world of idolatry and under paganism and spiritual darkness and all kinds of realities, they've come out of it. And through baptism, through hearing the gospel, they come to faith in Jesus, saving faith. They come to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He's the anointed Son, the Messiah, and he's King and Lord of all. And they enter the waters of baptism, and they became a new creation. And as they continue to say yes to God's work in their life and surrendering their mind and heart to the experiential knowledge that really is at the root of faith. This is, they've encountered the living Jesus. They didn't just get data, historical information, a set of commands from Paul about how they're supposed to live. They heard the good news about Jesus, who he is and what he's accomplished. And they surrendered through the grace of the Holy Spirit to the reality of who Jesus is, and he became their Savior. And so that faith begins to work in them. It's concrete. They're making decisions. They're counting the cost. They're stepping into the challenge. They're coming together with other brothers and sisters. They're coming around the Eucharist. They're sharing the gospel. It's coming alive in them, and Paul can see it, and he can acknowledge it, and he's thanking God the Father for it because it's a miracle. It's cooperating with the work of God. And then the labor of love. What's the foundation of it all? God is love. God now is empowering them to understand the love which is revealed perfectly in Jesus, particularly on the cross, how love wins, love triumphs, the love of God wins, that is, and they're now loving their neighbor. They're coming into loving God, loving their brothers and sisters, and learning to love themselves in right order. And then steadfastness and hope. hope is that, you know, the promise of God, that of endurance to the end, the assurance that God's promises are true, and seeing our destiny in the person of Jesus now glorified fully at the right hand of God the Father, and the destiny of the glorified humanity for those who live and die in the Lord. So all those things are present, and Paul says, this is being worked in you through our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Paul, it'd be good for us, I often think about this, to just have these terms about Jesus on our lips more. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord, King and ruler of everything. Everything made for him, everything made by him. He's building the kingdom which will not be shaken, will never be overcome. He's Jesus, meaning Savior. He comes to save everyone who opens their heart to him. To bring them from what? Save them from what? Powers of sin and death. The powers of ultimate judgment, separation from God. To come out of a place of lostness, hostility to God, ego, pride, willfulness, and come into the new life and giving our sins to Jesus and letting him take them away. And then Christ, he's the one who gives us the Holy Spirit. So verse 4, Paul says, "For we know, brethren, beloved by God, that he has chosen you." I love just that first half of that sentence, friends, that what does Paul know for sure? That those he's writing to are beloved by God. That's something you and I, everyone baptized into Christ, can say as a child of God. I'm beloved by God. And guess what? God, who is love, loves every single human being. But the unique expression of that love, of new life, where we're given power to become children of God and come into intimacy with God as our Father, and the Spirit in our hearts crying out, Abba, and our whole identity becoming expressed as children of God, this is the depth at which Paul is acknowledging, and he's seeing the love of God. And he knows, because these realities are unfolding in their lives, that they're chosen. They don't become the people they've become, come out of the way of life they once lived into the new life of the kingdom without God having chosen them. That's one thing. The second half of this verse, Paul says, "For we know, brethren, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, for our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in full conviction." Friends, this is the normal life of the Christian. How do you become a believer? How do you know? How do you know when someone has come into the life, the way of life of the kingdom that Jesus has called them to? Because their gospel came to them in word, but not only in word, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. We just have a few seconds on the program left here. I'm going to pick this up tomorrow because this is important. Lots of people have the gospel, dimensions of it has come to them in words, but they haven't been touched by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and they're not living in full conviction. And that's something that is part of the normal Christian life, and the Lord desires for every single one of us. Hope you can join me tomorrow. Invite your friends to join as well. God bless.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.